ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week, I have Michael Colodi. He is a goalkeeper for FC Dallas. I'm not going to say much. I'm going to save all my comments for the end. And I hope you all enjoy this episode. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
Hi, how you doing? Mike Colodi, goalkeeper for North Texas Soccer Club. And thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. You've had a phenomenal season this past season with North Texas Soccer and Soccer Club. And as someone that's been able to watch it, it's phenomenal watching you play all season. Now, when did you start playing this game that you love? And how did your perspective of the game change as you grew? You're going back probably at a very young age, but...
Yeah. I think it was around... I started playing in goal at, I think, 6 years old, but I was playing for a year or two before then, just like small side. It was like 5v5, and then moved to an indoor team, which is when I started playing in goal. I think I was like six at the time then. In terms of just the changes that I've experienced in it, is just moving from all the different worlds that I've had, from being a kid and growing up and playing and doing it for fun, to transitioning to the USDA world and getting a little bit more competitive, focusing on development and stuff like that, and then getting into college and then coming back. It's been a lot of different experience that I'm just very grateful to have, and it's been exciting.
So as you're progressing, so you started off roughly 6 years old in goalie. So what drove you to play goalie? Is it a family thing? Is it a just wanting to stop the soccer ball, or just wanting to play because no one wanted to play goalie?
I don't remember it myself, but I remember my dad will tell me the stories. We transitioned from a five-a-side team to an indoor team, which we the first time we had goalies there, and they asked, there was like, who wants to do it and try it out? And I put my hand up and went and tried it. And then my dad actually, he didn't play goalie, but he played collegiate soccer with Colorado School of Mines, and he was outside back, but he was their third string goalie, I think, like just in case anything went wrong. So he knew the general techniques of everything. So he went in the backyard and he taught me the basics of technical stuff with diving and everything, and just went from there.
So as you progress through this process, I interviewed Matt Montaigne, who's a goalkeeping coach in the area, and he told me it's the loneliest position in the world. When you guys win, you're the hero. When you guys lose, you're the enemy, or the everyone despises you. And how did you handle that starting at a young age? Because the mindset has to be built. And I think as a player that has progressed so far in your career already to where you're at today, how did you plan, or did your parents help you build that mindset at a younger age?
I think they helped for sure, definitely, with kind of just talking me through some of the stuff at a young age, realizing that this is the nature of the position, and there's going to be games where you're going to be amazing and be the hero, and there's going to be games where it's your fault and your team would have won if you did something better. And that's just the nature of this kind of really brutal position that we play. And it's just, I think, gaining experience, and just like anything, learning through experience. The best way to learn from something is having it happen over and over again, either way. And just try and just learning how to deal with the ups and downs of it, and then just proceeding to get better at it as you go along.
Looking back at your career at those younger days, every kid has those moments where they've had instances where they've had a coach that has been an influence on them, and that at the younger ages, I'm not talking now because these are more relevant, mm-hmm. You have better memories of them, but was there a coach at those younger days that really influenced you to stay with it during the tough times of those younger, when you're very young? Because I feel like teammates are more critical then, and they don't understand. It's just your fault. And it takes a good coach to motivate you.
I don't remember what age exactly it was, but I think it was when we transitioned to outside of indoor and I was playing in goal on a big field. I had a coach who was just really tough on everybody. And he was a yeller. Like, you get some coaches that are just yellers, and I don't remember all the details or anything, but I just know that it was just something to get used to. And I think just help develop the mental side of, okay, you're going to get yelled at when things go wrong, and you just got to deal with it anyways. And whether it's getting yelled at from somebody else or just your own internal battle of, okay, I messed up, but now you got to move on and take the next step. I think that was something that helped with that for sure.
Now, as you grew playing, did you have, obviously you said your dad played and was a third string keeper. Did he coach you at a younger age and advance, or did you go through time and join a club where they had a keeper, or did your parents find a keeper coach for you to help you build your skill sets starting at a younger age, or did you just go out there and just had someone kick the ball at you until you're exhausted?
I've been with goalkeeper coaches since a pretty young age. I don't remember when it exactly started, but after the indoor world of just joining it, we moved on, and it was not, I don't think it was before the academy days, but it was, I played with Solar back in the day for a couple of years, and they had a goalkeeper coach there who was great and helped with a lot of both kind of technical, physical stuff like that. So I've had a lot of help throughout the years just from goalkeeper coaches.
I know several keeper coaches in the Metroplex just because of being around soccer for 5 years and meeting some of them, and they all have the same message when kids start playing keeper, and they always ask, are you sure? Yeah. Did you ever have that moment when you started to go, so if you're breaking out to the outdoor, being more serious, more competitive, did you ever have a coach or someone say, are you sure this is what you want to do? Because, or did you just know from the moment?
I was set in my ways. It happened, and it happened when I was six and just never turned back. It was, I just loved to do it, and got pretty decent at it, and just didn't want to do anything else.
I love hearing that. I wish my daughter could hear that, because the reason she doesn't want to be a, the reason she wants to be a goalkeeper is because she doesn't want to run.
Nah.
And I tell her she's probably, you will be the most athletic player on the field, so you better be in good shape.
Yeah, exactly. it's a different kind of, it's a different kind of fitness.
That's the reason why she chose to be a keeper, is she doesn't want to run. This is the same girl that does gymnastics twice a week for 90 minutes. I don't get where the mentality is coming from. But that being said, do you find having just a soccer background, or do you have a multi-sport background?
So I, coming up, I think it was right before I came to FC Dallas's academy, and I think I was 12, so it's 2013-ish area. Before then, when I was with Solar, I played some baseball, I played football, I played some basketball. I wasn't a good basketball player, but I could handle my own the other ones.
It's hard. Do you feel like playing those other sports truly helped you be a goalie, because the eye-hand coordination is so much more impactful being a goalkeeper versus a field player, that it's all foot and hand? Eye and foot, and not eye and hand coordination.
Oh, I think 100%. There's definitely other stuff that comes from it as well. Even from like just learning different things, like baseball, and means you're in the outfield, you learn how to judge a ball and kind of read and track it and not overrun it and stuff like that. I think, and then there's a lot of fielding stuff where working with gloves and just kind of body positioning, stuff like that. Football was more about just being tough, just learning how to take a hit or give a hit and get up from it. And then there's other things that we've done, like my dad and I would play ping pong at home, that kind of took some stuff around with just like hand positioning and what's, how to control balls based on the shape or angle or whatever of your hand. But just taking things from other sports, and we've taken a lot from other things and have used them to, I wouldn't say I was consciously using them to get better at that point, but just realizing the similarity is like, oh, I know how to do that. And then it clicks or something like that.
So looking back to those time frames, would you advise parents to have their players to play multi-sports and eventually fine tune it? It's an opinion. It's not going to hold you to your feet to the fire. But I think as a parent, I push my kid to, both my kids, to play multiple sports.
Yeah.
My daughter's all for it. My son's like, nope, I'm only soccer. And do you think having another... I'm asking because you're an athlete that plays at a high level. Do you think it was beneficial for you, especially in this beautiful game?
Looking back on it, for sure, I think it was beneficial. I would say just whatever the kids were interested in. I wanted to do everything, right? I was just wanted to be active, wanted to be out there, do everything I could, until it got to a point where I had to focus solely on soccer. But I think looking back, it was super beneficial to be able to take things from different sports and mesh them together.
I love hearing that. I don't have a soccer background, but I think that's phenomenal that you view it as a way to move forward and not just a moment in your time.
Yeah.
So as you progressed, so let's get to when you transfer. You said U13,
U12, something like that.
Somewhere around there, you went to FC Dallas. Mm-hmm. So did you jump into, I guess it would be U14. I think U14 is when it started with, I don't know if it was MLS or if it was the AD rate at that point of time, or were you playing locally more at the time?
It was, at that time I came in, I think it was when the first kind of years they had the DA or the early years of the Development Academy. And so I jumped to that, and it was, that's all it was all the time.
You never were playing in Classic or not playing in local leagues. You were playing strictly in the DA.
Yeah, I played league. Classic League before I made the transition. I was playing Classic League with Solar. And then when I transitioned to FC Dallas, it was all DA all the time.
Which is, if you talk to many of the coaches here, that's the route you should be taking. You go from local to playing for the MLS. I guess it's MLS next side and now, and playing in that league. That should be every kid's dream or goal. How did you... did your perspective change when you joined with FC Dallas's academy? Because I feel the doors are more open and they're more interested in their top teams and developing their players so they can get them ready to transition to where you're at in your stages of your life right now. Looking back, so U13 getting ready, moving forward, what was the exciting points through those stages? Did you make the youth national teams? Did you play on an all-star team or whatever you want to call it through that time frame. So we can start at U13 and slowly work our way forward.
Yeah, to touch on to the change of perspective from Class Elite to the DA, I think there was just the opportunity that was available. Like you said, they have all the teams trained out there similar times, and as well as the first team as well. So we're able to see everything that goes on, and you can see the path that you want to take. And then there's also all the coaches and other players that they're trying to push you to do the same thing, get to the same place. So the environment was definitely different from the Classic League setup. And then getting to other stuff, I'm trying to remember what years it was. It was, I think, U14, U15, some national team camp call-ups, stuff like that. I think I got a couple caps with the youth national team in 2016 and some tournaments we had out in Japan and France, which went well. It was a great experience to be able to travel and do that with them.
Did you actually get a chance to play for the youth national team and enjoy those moments playing abroad, or were you the backup, or did they split the time? Because I honestly don't know how this works, because that's all beyond my son's age, and I only focus on the age group that I'm at now.
They most, for the most part, play the top guy, play whoever there is first, and we had some rotation stuff with goalkeepers, just depending on who they thought was better in training or in the week or whatever. So we got a couple games, sat and watched a couple games.
Do you think if a player has a chance to go play on the national team at any age group, would you advise them to go to have that youth experience? Because it's not every kid gets asked, and it's once in a lifetime experience, even just to go to camp.
Absolutely. It's a great experience to have, and we would have the camps out, and we had them out of, I think, different places, whether it was like California or Florida, just having the camps out there and being around the group of guys that all come in. I think it's a great experience as well to meet people from other clubs and everything. And like a lot of the guys in the soccer world that I'll see, some of them are known from camps back in the day. And it's just everybody's in the same little soccer world, I'm sure, as you understand.
Yes, the bubble is very small and it only gets smaller as you get older, I've learned. As you've been playing and having this experience through your youth, did you find much success? Obviously, you had success, mm-hmm. but did you find internal success, so to speak? Because, like I said in the very beginning, it's the loneliest position on the field. I don't care what anyone says. Did you find personal success playing at those younger ages? Because it's more in your memory now, because we have a better memory of those age groups, mm-hmm. age time, that time frame. Did you find that you were able to build your mindset around what you needed to have it to be mentally stronger? I call it mentally stronger, emotionally stronger, because at the end of the day, you can't do anything else. If you make a mistake, you probably have to brush it off faster than anyone else on the pitch. Yeah. You can't sit there and soak. You have to be ready to go. So mm-hmm. as you're going through this process, did you learn to have any tricks to help you, or have you talk to people to have a better experience or better knowledge of understanding? Because to me, this is one of the hardest things anyone on that pitch to understand is the mental side of the game. And we as parents that have never played the game don't understand it. Or it's been too long since we played.
No, I wouldn't say I have any, I don't think there's any special tricks or anything. Not that I've had. It's just as I develop and experience more, just getting better at just moving on and accepting that something happened and there's nothing you can do to change it now. You got to move on and do better with the next thing, because what you don't want is to turn into a domino effect where one bad thing leads to another and leads to another, and then it just blows up in your face, and that's what you don't want.
And not to rehash any memories of the finals going on this preseason, there was a moment that we watched. I think it was one of the home games. You let a ball go in and you could just see your face from the distance. It bothered you that it went in, but a few seconds later, you're back out there and you stop the next three or four shots on frame, or I can't remember which game it was, but it's like you were instantly, like in a snap of a finger, you literally just changed directions of your moment. Mm-hmm. So that being said, as you progressed, was that something you always learned or always had in your back pocket that was a natural talent, or did a coach advise that for you? Because I feel like everyone learns differently.
No, I had to work on that a lot. As a kid, being young, it was when I first started, it was like I can see the goal and I was on the verge of tears. It was like I almost broke down. So it was like starting from that and then moving to, okay, it sucks that you got scored on, but you got to move on, and just going from that stage to you just got to forget it and move on to the next moment that could happen a couple seconds later. It's just, and even like working on it in training, because there's a lot more mistakes that happen in training than in games, just because there's a lot more action. And so just not dwelling on it and just take what you can, learn from what you did wrong, and then just focus on the next thing. And
as you progress through your years of playing, how did you feel you did as a player? Did you see yourself? I always call it the straight, there's the 45 degree line going to the right from the corner, from the left to the right. And they say your progression should be this way. I like to draw circles around it like a little tornado.
Yeah.
And says, this is a child's progression. Did you feel like that is your progression through your time? Or did you feel like you waved, but you didn't go back as far back? Like you just went up and down more than an upward progression versus forwards and backwards.
I don't think there's been any, not that I can recall any progressions necessarily backwards. I think it's, you obviously have some off days and off weeks and stuff like that. But I feel like if you're consistently in it, it's a lot easier to get better than it is to get worse. But I think you have ups and downs. And obviously, I think one big thing was, I wouldn't say this was like a regression or anything, but the different experiences between like academy, college ball, and then coming back to here, there's like different aspects of my game that I had to work on more than others. So coming back from college to Texas, I had to use my feet a lot more, which I don't think they were as good as they were in the academy because I didn't use them as much with college soccer, just because that wasn't our style. And so I think that was just an adaptation that I had to make for college and then come back to it again and work on getting that skill set back for me.
So playing in your youth, did you ever get a chance to go play the field, or did you strictly stick in the goal?
I occasionally went and played in the field. Not very often, but it would be if it was a game that was a blowout or something. You want to go to the field? I was like, yeah, let's do it. Why not? Of course.
Now, looking back at that time frame, you touched on something I was going to ask about later, but I'll talk about it now. You talked about your foot skills going from college to the professionals. So do you advise anyone that's a keeper to work on going to a skills coach and just to maintain adequate foot skills, having correct touches on the ball? At the end of the day, watching keepers today and all over the world, I don't care what league it is, most goalies have some of the best touches and some of the pinpoint drops. They can drop a ball on a dime anywhere on the pitch. Do you find that your foot skills have to be just as good as the field players, if not better now, because of how players are playing?
100%. Just with the way that the style of change, it's essential. There's not as many, the style isn't as much as you're the goalkeeper. You just stand in goal and save shots. You're a part of the team and you're the 11th player. You're not just the goalie. And so being able to have that kind of to add to your resume and your game is, I think it's something that a lot of teams look for, especially nowadays, as everybody wants to play that more kind of possession style, build out of the back, all that.
So if you were going to go tell your younger self, do you think that'd be one thing you would advise yourself to do, is go focus more on your foot skills so when you hit this stage, you're farther ahead?
I think just keeping on to it to some extent, and it doesn't have to be like rigorous, just doing set drills and stuff like that. I think there's ways to find fun ways to improve your touch and everything, whether it's like playing soccer, tennis, or juggling or everything. Those are easy, fun ways with friends to just work on your touch without necessarily knowing it. Because anything, the more you do, the better you get. It's just natural like that. And so I think having a balance between set focuses and stuff like that versus finding things that you enjoy to do that are also really helpful.
So this goes, I get what you're saying. So do you think would you be more inclined to advise anyone or particular keepers, because that's what we're here talking about, to go play and pick up games and try to not playing in goal so they have the better understanding of the game from a defender to a wing to a striker?
I think so. I think it's been great. I've played, we have sometimes in the academy or in college, sometimes we'll play just small-sided games and you'll just swap positions because why not? Because it's fun. And when it's a, like I said before, it's a fun thing to do. And then you get to be in a different world and realize what's going on. And especially as a goalkeeper, you have to know what everybody needs to do in front of you because you're the eyes in the back, you're helping in the back. And so the more you can understand and know what those guys are seeing and what they need help seeing, then it can only help with kind of communication, organization, stuff like that. And then just the repetition of getting on the ball, getting touches with your feet and being able to have different skill sets outside of just saving shots and everything. Like we've talked about foot development and everything like that.
Now I'm thinking, because you mentioned a few things. When you're in your younger years, were you great at communication? Like when you moved over to FC Dallas, so U13 and older, or is it something you actually gradually had to work on? Because watching you play today, I can tell you never stopped talking back there. And I don't know how you have a voice at the end of the game, because you do never stop talking. And as a parent that's trying to teach my kids to never stop communicating, and they both play. And I talked about my daughter, but my son plays midfield. I go, you have to open up your mouth. You have to communicate. Is it something you gradually learned, or was it just something you had the innate ability to have? Like, it was just a natural talent?
No, it was something I had to learn for sure. Coming up as being younger, me back then, I was always told to talk and be louder and stuff. And it was a step that I had to get over in terms of one, being able to actually yell at my, because it's young me. It's like, oh, these are my friends. I don't want to yell at them. What if they don't like being yelled at? And getting over that step, which is one my dad always likes to point out. And then just getting to develop the specifics of the communication in terms of helping with positioning, knowing where runners are, stuff like that.
I always listen to all, like, we go to games, we watch multiple games every weekend. These games, when my son plays or my daughter plays, we'll go and watch. It's more fun watching my son because they're playing 9v9, because they actually have a keeper. Yeah. And they play a little bit more real soccer than 4v4. Yeah. With that being said, watching them communicate and how they communicate, I can tell you who's doing a win by how the goalkeeper communicates and the back line communicates. It's phenomenal, because if they don't communicate, if they aren't talking, they're going to get crushed. Yeah. And did you find that as inspiration to, or you may not even remember, to help you progress your communication skills? Or was it just something that was coached into you to be better with?
It was, I think more it was just coached into me. I've had the goalkeeper coaches here have been great in helping with that, because they were in the same spot a while ago playing as well. So they know the little tidbits of communication that's going to help be organizing what you need to focus on first. And so just learning from that, once I got over the hump of not wanting to actually talk, I was like, okay, I can yell at these guys and they'll be fine. Then it came down to learning how to do it in the most efficient way possible, because we want to get the message across as quick as possible, because half a second can kill you and you can see the goal.
Now, with the communication side, you talked about worrying about your teammates' feelings or they don't like being yelled at. As a parent, I tell my son there's a difference between riding your teammate in a game and being disrespectful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as someone that has played at a higher level, it's fun sitting on the field level and listening to you guys talk and yell at each other. And at the end of the game, you guys are putting your arms around each other. Is there any advice you can give these younger players? Doesn't matter where they're at in their phase on communication, because if you're a team, does it really matter? Or at the end of the day, what happens on the pitch during the game stays on the pitch?
When everything that happens on the field effectively stays on the field, especially anything negative, when we get off the field, everything's happy. But realizing that even if you're yelling at each other, you're on the same team still. So everything that you're yelling or trying to get this guy to do or listen, it's only to help the team. So it's not like someone's angry at you or trying to yell at you and just say, oh, you suck or something like that. It's always, or at least we always try to have it be constructive and let's help fix a problem. Let's help us do better. Let's win.
It's a constructive criticism. Yeah. Versus mm-hmm. negative comments.
Yeah, exactly.
Communication is something that I feel is missing, especially in the youth games. I either a coach is really good at teaching it or a coach is not. And watching these players communicate on the pitch, any advice you'd give them right now at these younger ages that you wish you had so they can have when they transition to collegiate or a professional mm-hmm. game, or if they're old and still playing and they're playing with a bunch of adults just having fun? Is there any advice you'd give them on communication?
I think in terms of advice on communication, I think one, being able to do it it's a skill. So I think it's something that you have to work on to develop. And then I think just like anything, if you aren't sure how to do it or what to say or anything, just ask questions. Coaches are there to help for a reason. And, or even if you're asking your players and you're after, even like it's after the fact, after the play, and you'd be like, hey, this is happening. What do you want me to tell you so that you know what's going on? And basically, especially if you're with a team for a while, you can figure out how to best communicate with individuals and how different people respond to different things. And that's something that I think I've gotten pretty good at throughout from college to now, just learning how to communicate with different individuals to get points off and how it works. And it's normally not too different in the run of play, but it's more sort of like after the fact and just kind of discussions and stuff like that. But I think generally it's just, because I think growing up and coming up younger was, I knew I had to talk, but it was like, I don't necessarily know what to say. And so just trying to use your resources and ask either your other teammates or coaches and stuff to help you figure that out. And then it just makes it easier from there.
Going into your like 16, 17, 18 years of age, because you did go off to college to play, how did you view the game at that those ages? Did you look at it as you wanted to go to college, or did you want to go pro? And then what was the avenue that you chose at those ages? Because that's when you start thinking more and more about it. I had a friend at 14, their son gave up soccer because they knew they never wanted to go to college to go play. They loved playing the game, but they weren't going to go take an ECNL slot from a kid that wanted to go off to college to play. And to have a 14-year-old have that much maturity, yeah, and understanding, when was your moment of, aha, I want to go to college, or, oh, no, I don't want to go pro, or I just want to play to play?
Mm-hmm. It was coming towards middle, end of high school, just figuring out every person's different, and you have to figure out your different path. Like, I have buddies who signed here really young. I have guys who went off to college and came back as well. So it's just trying to figure out the path that's best for you. And for me, I think the best path was going off to college and being able to continue to develop as a player while getting my degree. And then so post-soccer life, won't have to worry about going back to school or anything like that. And then, but yeah, I think that was just, it was just figuring out what the best option was. Is it something you want to go all in and pursue professionally? Is your time now and this is the best time to do it? Or do you need more time to develop and you might as well get a degree and use soccer to get tuition and stuff like that on the way? It's just figuring out the balance and the path that works for everybody. And that's just the one that worked for me.
And as you progress, did you have, sounds like your parents have a good understanding. I mean, your dad did play collegiately. Did you feel that you had the upper hand because you had guidance from a parent that did go to college, that did play? Or did you feel like they gave you different avenues and try not to give their perspective too much, just guidance in the right direction of what you were saying to them?
They helped for sure with the whole experience, because I'm a 17, 18 year old coming out of high school trying to figure everything out. Obviously, I don't have all the questions, and I like to think I'm pretty good at asking questions when I don't know what's going on or anything. And my parents are always happy to give their two cents, whether it's just being there to support or actually helping trying to figure out the problems. And so I think just having them there to help me walk through that problem, whether it's I'm asking their opinion or I'm just bouncing ideas off, this is what I'm thinking, how does it sound, stuff like that.
That's awesome to have. So did you, to get into college, because you did go to a very nice school in New York, shout out to New York here. Columbia is a great school, and having that experience moving into the collegiate world, how was the transition for you as a player? Because it is a completely different world, because now you're playing against men. You're still a teen, an older teen, yeah, a young man, but you're playing against full-grown men in some cases that are in their mid-20s, if not older. Mm-hmm. So how did how did the transition go for you in that time frame?
I think it went all right. It was like you said, the biggest difference between going from academy to college was the physicality of the game. And obviously there's style differences between how the development academy and colleges play in the U.S. here. But aside from that is the physicality and having to deal with, because you're going in as a 18, 19-year-old, you're playing against, some stages they have graduate students that are 23, 24. And so just being able to deal with that and having to get bigger, stronger to be able to hold your own, and then still being able to do all the rest of the stuff that we do in the game. That was the biggest transition, which I think I dealt with pretty well. I didn't really ever have a physicality issue when battling for balls in the air and stuff. I think it was something that I definitely got better at through college, was balls in the air, having to attack the ball, get it the highest point, be strong in the air, and go through guys if needed to. because that was a big part of the collegiate game, is get it to the big number nines.
And how did you feel as you progressed going through college? Is there things that you wish someone would have shared with you as insights or advice making that jump, going from the academy world to the collegiate world? Or would you rather have it just be a surprise and let the learning curve teach you?
Having people to help is always, I'm always for asking people what's the deal and how everything's going to be, especially people who've experienced and have been in it. My coaching staff there was, they were great in helping with the, even in like preseason, we'd work on specific stuff as, okay, this is, you're going to experience more of this than you did in academy, stuff like that. So we're going to work on improving ball in the air, stuff like that, crosses, strength work in the gym, anything like that. I enjoyed having the heads up and being able to prep and have an understanding of what's going to come for it. And then getting into the first game, I was like, oh yeah, they were right. I'm glad we did this.
Looking back at that time frame, did you feel, I first need to set the stage here. So when was, did you play your freshman year, or did you, were the backup for the first few years, like it tends to happen for keepers?
I played my freshman year.
When you played your freshman year, did you find the pressure of playing as a freshman much greater than as you got used to it? Obviously, it gets easier. But did you find the pressure there, or did you just find it to be your natural home, that jumping into that slot right away?
I don't remember having any, like a whole lot of external pressure from anything. Obviously, there's pressure that you put on yourself and you expect yourself to perform in game situations. But I felt pretty comfortable coming in and got to know a lot of the guys really quickly. So it was just joining another team and getting settled in, which I think I did pretty quickly.
Looking back at settling in, did you feel getting into the groove of things at Columbia, between being an athlete now and you have to maintain a GPA to stay playing? I mean, I don't know how it is at the academy. It's up to a coach at some of these clubs. Did you feel that you're able to balance it well? Because I can't imagine, I've been told what the schedule's like, and I know it's pretty hard. I don't know if I could do it. But how did you figure it out, how to balance it? Was there, you said you had a lot of help from coaches and the staff was great. Were they there to really help you out, or were you lost a little bit and found your way with the process?
There's a learning curve that comes with it for sure. But like I said, there's the coaching staff helps a lot with it. We have academic advisors, there's tutors to help if you needed to. And then really the biggest kind of resource that I've seen that all the younger guys use is the upperclassmen. Yes, ask the juniors, ask the seniors, how do I do this? What's the best way to do this? And they've been through it, so they know what to do. So it was, there's obviously a curve with trying to figure that out, as there is with anything. But I think that's the biggest help that you have, is the guys that are still going through it and have gotten good at it, but were in your position 2-3 years ago.
I'm thinking of the time frame you started college. It was
19.
Middle 19, right? So you went through COVID. Mm-hmm. How did that affect your playing career at the collegiate level? Because you lost 2020 to a degree, if not all completely, depending on where you're at in the country. How did that affect you as a player, and not just playing time, but mentally? Because that's a year off almost.
It was a year off playing games, but overall it really helped, because so we got sent home in the spring semester, I think like March or something, from school, just because they didn't get, we're going to move classes online, you guys can go home, do whatever, be with your family, safe like that. And so I came back here and was back with my family, and then I started training with North Texas and the academy and just being around, because I know all the coaching staff. So just like, hey, can I come train with you guys? Yeah, of course, because the club's always super welcoming to returners from college. And so I was able to train with North Texas when they were in the USL 1. That was, I think it was the year after they won the championship, they won the USL 1. But being able to train in a professional environment and then go back to return to college, it was super helpful. Just seeing things at a quicker speed of play and able to develop stuff. And then I went back and had a good season after that.
Did you, for you personally, it was very great. So did you play, you graduated in 2023, if I'm remembering right. So yeah. So you only played technically 3 years of collegiate ball.
So I graduated in December of 2023. During the COVID, I took a semester off. I think it was fall of 2020. I took that semester off so I could turn that into the spring of, not the spring, but the fall of 2023. So I graduated in the half year, the half of the school.
After. So you got an extra season.
I was able to play 4 full years.
That's awesome. You're playing at a higher level. Now, when you transition to North Texas, how did you view the game? I can only imagine the style, like you talked about earlier, it was the style mm-hmm. of play that changed.
Yeah.
And playing out of the back, you had to have more footwork.
Yeah.
But what was the biggest thing that you saw that be the difference between collegiate and the pros?
It's the speed of play. And I think that's when you get up to the higher levels of everything, I think that's the biggest thing that changes. Everything just happens faster. Whether it's ball movement or player movement or how fast you have to communicate, everything just happens that much quicker.
That's amazing. So you're with everything playing faster, did you find that a lot of your kids that you played with in the academy signed with North Texas or have played through with North Texas? I know some of the names, I can rattle them off the top of my head right now. And they just, I don't know if all of them went to college. Some of them went off to college. Some of them just stayed locally and played in the academy, then went to North Texas. Were you able just to gel with them more instantly because you already had that bond from the academy time? Or was it relearning who they are because their style of play changed? Because I feel like players are, it's an evolution process for players.
You're talking about coming back here after college?
Yeah, right? After college, yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple guys here that were with first team and coming down that I've played with in the academy and stuff like that. But a lot of guys are that I know were off playing either in Europe or a different next pro team or a different MLS team. So there was a definite kind of learning curve with kind of getting used to the team and getting to know everybody. The easy part was with all the staff, because I knew all the staff because everybody was still here. So I've either been around or known them for a long time. And so that was a really easy transition coming back, and especially with John, who I've known for a long time, and he brought me back. So that was the easy one. And then it's just like joining another team, which I've done plenty of. It's, you get more comfortable with the guys, especially when we're hanging out with them for hours every week.
And now, do you look at it as coming back as a, how do I describe it, as more of a success for you than a lateral move? Because I've talked to many players that are professional players now that have gone, that skipped college, and they feel like going to North Texas is a step back because you played at that level already at a collegiate level. You should be jumping straight to the first teams, not the reserve team. And I don't know anything about this world. I'm not trying to pick on North Texas. To me, it's a professional team that is the second string ultimately for FC Dallas. So when there's something happens up there, you get called up and you get to go play. So do you view it as that way, or do you view it as it's the right step, the right order to go? It's not a negative thing. It's just what it is. It's our pyramid here in the United States.
That's exactly it. It was just, like I said, there's a different, like I said before, with trying to figure out college stuff, there's a different path for everybody. This was the right path for me, coming out of college, coming somewhere where I could continue to develop at a higher level and get minutes and use as the next step up. I think it was 100% the right move and the right step to take.
That's the thing. I have nothing here to talk about because I had never played soccer. I don't have that experience. So it's really about your experience. So with that being said, looking back now at the last year, 23, the last 17 years of your life, have you seen soccer be the tool in your life that is going to be the avenue to help you find your joy? Because to me, if you do the job you love, or you find a way to love the job that you're doing, it's not work anymore.
Yeah.
It's truly a passion. If you want to talk about legacy, like Kenny Cooper coming back and working with FC Dallas, that's what an honor for him to come back and work with them. But at the same time, you have this moment to be here. And so do you looking back at everything the last 17 years, do you find these moments, the pivotal moments in your life, to be more critical now? And do you want to share those moments with players that are coming through?
What do you mean by the pivotal critical moments?
You have those moments in your life when doesn't matter what you're doing, your career, like you love what you do, obviously, because you're still playing. Mm-hmm. But those moments, those aha moments, you can call them even, when you're playing, like you want to share those moments. If you go out and watch the U13s, hey, when I was your age, this is what I saw and this is what I've learned. Do you want to share those experiences now when you see players, or be a mentor almost looking back? Because I feel being the joys of being part of a big organization like FC Dallas, you have those chances of going back and talking to the younger keepers and saying, hey, look, or the field player, like, this is something I do to prevent you from doing this. This is how you get around it. Or do you have those moments with these players, or do you strictly focus on what you have to focus on because you may not be allowed time to have those moments?
No, there's definitely time for it, especially with North Texas, and we pull up, and just the club in general, they move people around, and academy guys are up training with us all the time and training with the first team all the time. There's a bunch of inclusion just from there. So there's definitely seeing what we can and helping coach and know what we do to help with those kids when they're up training with us. And the same thing goes the other ways. If I'm up training with the first team, especially this year, like I've learned a lot from being around and being with Martin and Jimmy and them. And while they're not necessarily coaches, they'll give their 2 cents on something and, oh, okay, that makes sense. I'll try that next time, or that's a good adjustment to make, because we're just trying to always learn and then always help other people learn as much as you can.
I will have to say the common thread that I keep on writing down is that you're always open for learning. Mm-hmm. How critical is that? Because I love watching youth players. I love listening to the bench talk or after practice talk. And I'm amazed at, especially at the younger ages, how much kids don't want to listen today. It is, they want to watch YouTube channels or YouTube and learn from YouTube. And I don't always, I as a parent for kids, I don't see that as always the best answer, because it's their opinion. And if they're making YouTube channels, they're probably still not playing and they're not on the modern edge of the game anymore. How do you view or advise parents to help their kids to encourage them to learn? Is it, I know that I have my opinion on it, because I think education, no matter what you're doing, you always have to stay on the cutting mm-hmm. edge. I engulf hours upon hours of youth sports, and then so I can do what I do with my podcast or with my job, I never stop researching certain points to keep myself on the cutting edge. So how do you advise parents to keep their kids to be active learners? Something that worked for you. Yeah. That's the thing, because it worked for you. You just seem to have that natural, innate ability to want to constantly learn.
I think that comes with just knowing what you want to do. Because I think for me, it's like playing soccer is what I want to do. I want to be able to do it for as long as I can. And if you stay stuck in one point and you don't continue to get better and continue to learn, you're not going to move. And then you're going to have to get out of it eventually. And I think it could be similar with other things. Is once you find something that you really enjoy learning about, studying, doing, whatever it is, I think you're more naturally inclined to want to learn more about it and want to experience more stuff with it. So I think that's where it comes down to more, is not necessarily finding a way to get them to want to learn, but finding what you want to learn about. If that makes
sense. That makes a lot of sense. So as you're going through your phases of your life playing, and if you broke it down, I call it the three phases of play is how I've been described it. So you, 11 and younger, what would be the most important thing if you had a chance to go tell a player or parents or sit down with a group of age players that age, what would you tell them today?
The most important thing is that you enjoy it. I don't think if you, especially because at the end of the day, this is a game, right? It's a game that we play, and I'm fortunate enough to be in a professional environment with it, but it's something we do to have fun. And so I think it's something that, especially with sports and extracurricular activities, if you don't enjoy it, there's no point in doing it. You got to find something. And that's the same thing you said with like work. If you find something you love, you don't work ever. It's the same thing. I think you got to be open to trying different things to figure out what you can experience, whether it's trying different sports or school stuff, whatever everybody's path is, but just being able to find what you really want to do, and then the rest will, that drive that you'll have inside when it's like, oh, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, for as long as you can, that'll push you through.
Being a parent, and this is a problem I have, it's learning to set those boundaries, because my son's only 11. He'll be 11 in a month. Okay. And is setting those boundaries as a parent. So what advice would you give parents looking back at that younger age group, if you can remember, something that you would like to share with parents to advise them on what to do with their player? Because I feel I've learned not to be critical. Uh-huh. I have sayings with my son now because I've done a lot of research on sports psychology and learning. I don't care how he plays. All I care is he plays to his ability. Like, he can make a million mistakes, but if he's trying his hardest that day, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. And that's all I care about now. It's not if he scores 15 goals. It's never been about him scoring goals. It's, okay, are you being a team player? Are you being kind to your teammates? What type of advice would you give for those younger age groups, for parents, for their players, to help them be like you someday?
I think it depends on the kid's goals, first and foremost. If the kid wants to play to be professional, then I think you can be a little bit more critical and do what you can to help. And especially if you have a soccer background yourself, you can help with what can they'll take it on and try and learn from it. But I think there's also points that some kids get to that if they get to, I don't want to play anymore, I just want to do it for fun, I don't want to go pro or use it. Like you said, the guy who didn't want to go play in college, I think there's not pushing a kid too hard, right? Because I feel like anytime you hear about a kid just like who stopped enjoying the game, I always feel it's because someone pushed them too hard to a point where it just wasn't fun anymore, which I think is the most important part, was just enjoy it.
That kind of leads like the U12 to U14 age group, because I feel that is the age group where I feel there's a lot more pressure internally and externally on a player to advance, because this is, in the UK model, it's training to train at this point in time. I guess it's in the US model too, but it's not well spoken about. But learning in that time frame is training to train. And as a parent, hearing that, that means they're out there to bust their butt. They're still supposed to have fun, mm-hmm, but it's learning to love to work hard.
Yeah.
So in that age range, you still have to play to have fun, going back to what you first said. Is there any type of mentality parents or players need to have, or both need to have, in that time frame that you would advise? Because you're coming from a player's perspective, not a parent.
I think I remember in that time frame once, it was, I had a story once my dad would tell me. It was, so we were training and we were doing something, and it was there, and we came over to a water break, and I was there. My dad was like, why aren't you working hard? I am working hard. And so he came out and he recorded that part of the possession drill or whatever we were doing, and I just wasn't doing anything. It was all jogging, walking, stuff like that. And I watched, and I was like, I'm not. And so I don't know if that's just a funny story that I like to tell. I don't know if that plugs in a whole lot, but just I think that there's a little bit of realization that there's some stuff that's not entirely fun in it.
Right.
But it was just figuring out that's what I wanted to do. So there's going to be some stuff that I have to work on that's not going to be fun. Not everything's just going to be, you get to do everything that's super fun in the game, because there's parts of it that you have to develop that aren't near as fun to do. Fitness is a big one. Like your daughter says, she doesn't want to be in goal because you don't have to run. I still have to do fitness. It sucks. I don't like doing it, but we have to do it anyways.
That's the thing. I think people have a misconception of the goalie position, but we can get to that here in a few minutes, because I'm not going to tie it all back here. As you're looking at this experience that you're having with all of this, and now you're getting to the age of U15, I think that this is where everything changes for players. It's playing to win. This is where it becomes, I call it a job. I don't care what age level you're at. You still have to have those other two phases. You still have to have fun doing it. You still have to work hard. But now this is the grinding time. And how do you think you could advise parents from a player's perspective to go through this? If you strictly want to talk about it as a keeper, that's perfectly fine, because there's tons of keepers and it applies to everyone still. What advice would you give parents and players at this stage when you're starting to look at playing to win?
There's definitely a little bit more kind of pressure if you get on, like when you're trying to pull out results. And once we get into the leagues and what's down the MLS next and everything, where you want to go play and you can play for trophies and win national championships and stuff like that, there's definitely that more pressure that goes into it. I think learn in that part, it's a very vague statement, but learning how to win. Because I think there's a difference between, sometimes you can just be good and you can play your game and you can win, but other times you have to really work for it. So I'd always talk, and especially this year with our seasons, like we've had games that we didn't play great, but we were still able to pull out results. And I think that's because we were a team who knew how to win in terms of managing the game, stuff like that, in terms of fixing problems on the fly and just being able to adapt, I think is the biggest thing. Having that adaptability, if something's not working, trying something else and maybe switching up tactics, formation stuff for the coaches at halftime too. But I think that's the biggest thing that changes when you go from, we just want to develop people, we're going to play our way and whatever happens, happens, into, okay, we're playing to win. We need to win here. Okay, if the way we're playing today isn't working, we got to try something else. And I think just being able to adapt is the biggest thing. And that goes throughout the rest of all your career, because tactics changed mid-game from our league to people playing Champions League, big tournaments, stuff like that.
Now, looking at doing the same thing now, looking at your collegiate level, because at the collegiate level, I feel like it's slightly different. The coach wants to win, but at the same time, I don't know anything about the college world sports, but I can only imagine it has changed a lot over the last several decades of winning at all costs. Now we have to worry about the total aspect of the player and the health of the player versus just we must win. Do you feel that jumping into from the academy, and nothing against FC Dallas's academy, to the collegiate world, do you find that the support system for the mentality, because now you're still playing to win, but the support system's completely different, or do you find that the transition was very similar between coaching staffs as a player, but now you just have a harder academic side of it?
I think it was pretty similar. I don't think it was, there's nothing too crazy that I could point out that was the difference. I think the biggest difference is your interaction with your teammates, honestly, just because you live with the guys that you're with forever, and you live with the guys in the team normally if you're playing with them. And so I think that you have a little bit more help in that aspect of it, because you're around them, you're close with them, as opposed to you're at home, you go home with your parents and stuff like that. It's different.
Gotcha. Now, moving into where actually you need to win, the professional world, did you find, because I know the coaches you've had, I know several of them, I know John, I've talked to John a couple of times now. I don't know him very well, but my personal opinion of him, he has high expectations, and I think he holds players to those expectations. And I think that's why he was able to put together your North Texas team, and Michelle was able to carry on when he went up to go help the first team. Do you find that the pressure is still the same going from collegiate going to the professional world as it was for you, but there's more on the line, so to speak, more on the line for everyone involved? Or did you just, as weird as it may sound, is it still just as fun as it was when you were a kid?
A mix of both. It's obviously, it's still super fun and I enjoy doing it. Otherwise I wouldn't do it, but I think there's definitely a little bit more pressure that's involved with, there's a lot more on the line, exactly what you said. It's just, it's still, you're in your position where you play to win and do nothing else. You play to get results, but then there's more on the line. If you don't play well, maybe a team drops you, or you have to find other stuff like that, because it's your living at this point. You have to make a living somehow. And if you don't perform, then you don't make a living. And that's just that little extra bit of pressure, but it's still something that's, I know that all the guys enjoy. It's still, we all have fun when we're out there. And anything that you think about in terms of that extra bit on the line, it doesn't happen on the field.
Gotcha.
That would always be like a post thing for anyone, I assume, because we're just, at least for myself, it's just, we're on the field, that's all it is. There's nothing else going on in the world.
Now let's move on to the last season you just played, because I think this is something that every parent needs to hear, and having your perspective. When you started the season, did you think you guys would have made it to the finals this year?
I had no idea. I was trying to come in with I'm not going to say no expectations, but just ready for whatever happens. Just being ready to, if we struggle a little bit, it'll be all right. We'll work through it, stuff like that. And if we don't, then that'd be great. But just trying to come in with a pretty kind of neutral mindset on whatever happens, happens. And I'm just going to try and do my best.
Now, because I'm looking at this, because I've watched almost all the games this year, all the home games and most of the away games. We tend to follow you guys as a family, you all as a family, because it started with the connection with Derek Waldeck. And ever since then, being able to pay $20 or whatever it is, $40 to go get field access to go watch the game is pretty phenomenal. And having those opportunities, watching you play, how did you feel your progression was this season? I have my opinion as a parent, because as a fan and as a parent, because I look at it from both perspectives, because I think you guys are still kids in my mind. I'm 40.
Yeah.
So you guys are still kids. And how did you feel like your season progressed, you as a player? Because I feel like you were just constantly skyrocketing. I didn't feel like you were ever slowing down playing. Like, you didn't have many missteps or miscues, so to speak, in the game. So how did you feel about it as the person living it?
I felt there was definitely a sequence of a couple games where there was a couple mistakes here and there that kind of piled up in back-to-back games, which was a little bit frustrating, which I think, I mean, it could have come down to a lot of factors, or it was maybe it's the length of the season. It's my first time playing that long of a season, because college season's only a couple months. I think it was, I'm very happy with my progression and development throughout the season. But I think that was, I had one little kind of slump that I had to get out of, but aside from that, I'm pretty happy with it.
Now, watching you play this season, you ended up, I love the MLS Next Pro, to ending ties as PK shootouts. Those moments are so pivotal, and my wife says she hates PKs because it's an automatic failure for the goalie. As a goalie, it's harder to stop. You have 24 by 8.
There's zero expectations. I think the numbers is they're supposed to score 80% of the time. So it's just, you just step in, and we have our film study and everything that we've done, and we just do what you can. And if it goes your way, great. If it doesn't, it happens.
I remember listening, I think it was Martin Paz 2 years ago with an interview. He talked about studying film when they made the playoff run, FC Dallas did, and how they had to go back 2 or 3 years, or maybe it was 3 years ago when Jimmy was in the goal. I can't remember who it was, but I remember the goalie talking about having to go back 3 or 4 years to the players' academy days to find game film of him taking PKs so he could study. Do you spend that much time studying throughout the season?
With how the league works and having to do it every week, it adds maybe 30 minutes to an hour of film for us for every week, and then even more for the coach, because he has to go find everything, and that either just makes it easy for us to look at.
I just have to, because I find it so fascinating, because this season was phenomenal. You did such a great job stopping so many shots. The final game, we were on the edge of our seats. We were there. The semifinals, the conference final. That's what I'm thinking of, because it was at Shotcall Stadium. And we were all on the edge of our seat, and we were all sweating bullets. And my wife is, I can't imagine, and we see your parents up in the stands. being them that day, because they had so many shots on goal, and you did such a phenomenal job stopping so many shots. And the game before that, I it's like replaying those games in my head as someone being a fan of this, of the team, and watching you play this season, being your first season in the league, it was phenomenal. So looking back, not including all the extra stuff, just this season, what has been your favorite moment for you as a player, other than the finals and
those moments?
Yes. But you had the All-Star games, which I'm not including. I don't want you to include that, because that was fun to watch. But the actual core season, what has been?
The regular season, not including
the playoffs. Yeah.
Regular season. I think the one that sticks out to me the most is our early game against the Town, where we score the equalizer in the 96th minute or whatever, and then we go on to win the penalty shootout afterwards. Okay. I think that's one of my favorite ones, just because we're down a man for, I forgot however long it is, or down a man, down a goal, and pull one back and end up getting 2 points out of it. And I think that was a kind of a tone-setting moment for the team, especially. It was like, okay, we're here to compete. We can get points out of nothing if we need to. So we know we're better than a lot of teams, but there's going to be games where not everything's going to go our way, and we're going to find a way. And it was just that moment that set that tone for me, at least. That was like, okay, we're going to be able to get something out of every game.
That's awesome. So now, how was your experience living the MLS All-Stars Goalkeepers Wars? That was fun to watch. You two did phenomenal.
It was such a good time just being, because we stayed up in the same hotel with all the other players as well. And so we got the full experience of having everything set up and ready for us. You can do whatever. And then just the other three guys that I was with as well, the other three guys in the Goalkeeper Wars, we were just there to have a good time. We're obviously all competitive and wanted to win, but we realized we're like, yeah, this is just for fun, just for show. Let's go have a good time. And we thoroughly enjoyed it all. We just had a great time out there.
And how was it? I'm trying to remember. I know you made it to the finals. I can't remember if you won or not. Did you?
No, I did not. Okay. I lost once.
I remember watching you get to the finals, and it was so fun to watch. I didn't care who won. It was just so much fun watching those moments in the All-Star pregame, whatever you want to call it, format they had. Now, to this past fall, this late fall, how did it feel to win MLS Next Pro? I don't really want to call it finals championship, whatever you want to call it. How did it feel to win Cup? Yes, thank you. How did it feel to be part of that squad to win it and to bring it back in 5 years? Because I'm going back to the USL. Last year they played in USL League One.
Yeah. What the goal was, right, at the end of the day, that's what the plan was. It's a really long season. It's a 10, 11 month season, and it just makes everything worth it. And that's something that we were talking about as a team as well. It's like, all right, we can't come this far just to come this far. We have to have something to top it off. And that's what everybody wants to do with their season, and we were able to pull it off. And it was just great to be able to bring some hardware back to the club as well, especially.
Not to mean to FC Dallas' first team, but you've done it twice as a club. with the reserve team here. Looking back as your career, before I ask my favorite question, because it tends to take a little bit longer, your last, you're 23, 17 years of playing, how do you, or so, what has been the greatest memory you have of playing? Because I'm assuming that winning the cup is a memory, but sometimes those moments don't withstand those moments earlier on in your life that are pinnacle or important to you. That will always hold a special place. But is that the greatest moment so far, or is there other moments that you've had just as great to that for you, if not better, depending on how you want
to? That's the top one so far for sure. I've won some tournament stuff back in the day when I was younger, but going up through academy, we made it to two national finals, I think, in my U17 and U19 years, and lost both those. Which those were heartbreaking, especially the last one right before I went to college. I think winning it all is definitely the highlight so far, but planning on making more here. So
glad to hear that. I'm going to ask my favorite question. It is, who has been the greatest influence on you as a player? I'm going to break it up because you have three phases of your career. So your career as a soccer player, you as an account from U18 and younger, you in your collegiate years, and you in the last year as a professional player. And it can be anyone. It could be a parent, it could be a friend, it could be a coach, or it could be multiple people, because let's break it down to the formative years, I'll call it, the more pre-college years. So who has been the greatest influence on you during those years?
I think leading up to it all, it's my parents for sure. Just even from being young, just the support and everything that they gave me and all the help through however they could, because they're always there to help as much as they can. I think that was just something that I wouldn't have been able to do without. And so that one's easy. During college, let's see. I had my head coach, my original head coach at the time, he was there for, I think, 3 years. He was the one who brought me in, and we went in and sat down halfway through our season. And we were there. It's like, all right, this is my plan. I want to play professional. We had a meeting. We sat down. Like, okay, let's map this out, how we can do this, and then we'll get you there. And he was super supportive with helping, figuring out anything we need on, off the field, classes, personal life, on the field, stuff like that. And that was just, again, just an amazing person to have and be able to reach out to with anything we need. And then just coming back into to everything professionally, I think is influence professionally. I don't know if I can point out one.
It could be multiple people.
I think I would just have to give it out to just all the members of the staff, because they're always just, they push us so hard. And whether it's the goalkeeper coach working with us in training every day or having meetings with coach afterwards, going through video stuff, just the environment that they create, it's everything that you could ask for. It's anything that you could ask for out of a professional environment. And coming in, and they want to push people up and get them to the first team and move up themselves. And the thing that we talked about throughout the season was the best way for everybody to help themselves as individuals is to help others. Because if the team does well, everybody does well. So that was something that we tried to live by and embrace throughout the season and made the most out of it.
Hey everyone, I hope you all have enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. Michael was a great guest, and I was very excited to get him. I actually have to get a shout out to a friend. I won't reveal his name, but he helped arrange all this for me. And I was very grateful for it. And what's even better, we get to hear his story, and now we get to hear from his parents next week. I normally don't give clues what the next two episodes are, but that's what you're getting now this week. It's Michael's parents. And let me tell you, listening to Michael's story this past week was awesome. And having children raised here and he going off and doing what my kid wants to do to a degree, or a lot of kids want to do, it's awesome. You see the full circle. And I'll have to say, he did it in one of the hardest positions because there's only one on the field at a time. And Michael's story is phenomenal. And watching him grow the last year was even better. I hope you all will take time to go watch him play. Cheer him on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review. Share this. Share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.